Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League. Rugby League, welcome back. Four more sleeps, everybody. Four more sleeps, and it is back, baby.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. It's our first NRL one this year, the first of many, obviously, that we'll do. So we thought we'll go through each team's, talk about their ins and outs, talk about the NRL rule changes this year, which is we've probably seen in some preseason games. And then we'll touch on two at the start, just about the expansion teams. So just from your facial expression.
A few teams have expressed their very, very dislike about the I guess it's to do with the six again, rule, you know, the six again extra infringements that that they put in into place this year. So last year they trialed the, you know, the six again for ruck infringements to try and speed up the game. It very much worked. Like, it worked to great effect, but it, to me, and I don't know how you sort of thought about it, I thought that it just widened the gap between the good teams and the bad teams. Every game, 75% of the games were at an origin-like or a test-like pace, which not every first grader can handle. And it just sometimes makes for poor rugby league. Like, we've sped up the game, but it just, to me, it doesn't add to the spectacle of anything. It makes for poor games. Like, you can't get poor rugby league games out of your TV viewing. They're going to happen, whether or not these rules are implemented or, you know, the previous rules are still around. It's just very strange why they're doing this.
I'll read the rule changes, and then I'll tell you the first thing that comes to my mind when I read them. So the changes are the introduction of a two-point field goal for kicks taken more than 40 meters out.
That's crazy to even start with.
Well, yeah.
Rugby league kickers have trouble kicking it from 20 meters out.
Yeah, I'll keep going. The first thing that comes to my mind is it's all of them, if you sort of read into it. Six again, as you mentioned, to be called for 10-minute infringements. Penalties for teams if they leave a scrum before referee calls break. A play the ball, you're right. A play the ball restart if the ball or player with the ball goes over the sideline. The bunker will now review replays after an on-field referee awards a try, but a conversion attempt will not be allowed until it gets the green light. Injured players will be interchanged if a trainer asks for play to be stopped.
I like that one.
Yeah, I do. When a captain's challenge is inconclusive, a team will not be docked for an unsuccessful attempt. That's fine as well. I don't mind that one. And a handover will be ordered when a player does not make a genuine attempt to play the ball correctly with their foot.
How long's that going to last?
So 90% of those rules, the first thing that...
That's the rule of rugby league since 1908. Play the ball with your foot.
So exactly. Except for that rule, that rule, which is genuinely rugby league, when I started reading those rules, the first thing that popped to my mind was friggin' rugby union. I like the sport, but it... You know, the introduction of doing these big 40-meter dropouts that they do. You know, they don't get 2 points, but big kicks. The six again, sort of. But then the penalties for teams that leave the scrum before they break. You know, I don't get it.
The funny thing is about that is that there's a little tweak to that rule, right? So if they break early, the team that feeds the scrum is allowed to say, yes, we'll take a full penalty or we'll pack the scrum again. If the team that infringed in the first place does it again, then the referee has to pick out the player that broke early. Usually it's the lock forward, whoever packs in at lock, is sent to the bin for 10.
But they're trying
to keep the scrums packed. I understand.
Which is fine, and, but it's contradictory. You can't say that you want to make the games faster, free-flowing, and unpredictable when you everybody has to wait for the referee to call break.
The referees don't say break. They say out. It's the same thing.
Well, exactly. And
you hear the referee say it all the time. When the ball comes out of the back of the scrum, past the lock's leg, they go, right, out.
What about then essentially then just, you know, the beautiful play that I love, of the lock picking up the ball?
So
is that saying that won't happen because he's got to wait for the ball to be out and call out? Like that, you know, yeah, that means
exactly.
They
essentially... So, that's right. So the lock taking the ball out of the scrum, it's up to interpretation from the referee.
It's exactly right. That's what I mean. Some of them I get. Like you said, that the captain's challenge is inconclusive. Team will not be docked for the unsuccessful attempt.
That's
injured
fine.
Players one will be interchanged if a trainer asks for play to be stopped.
That's great. So that they have 2 minutes. So if they ask for the game to be stopped, that player then has to be off the field for at least 2 minutes before he is allowed back on. So that means essentially that whoever it is, if they're faking an injury, if they cramp, my leg's a bit sore and it's really not, all they're doing is just trying to buy their team a breather, they penalize their team because they have to be off the field for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So they essentially are set in attack and are set in defense.
And it also, to me,
so that there, I think, will stop a lot of
trainers. Trainers just
staying
in the field for
the
bulk of the time.
Yeah, it's the little niggly BS injuries where I think I felt a little tweak in my ankle or something like that, but it's really nothing. But they buy their side. See, they're the sorts of things that you can do to speed the game up. None of this six again for 10-meter infringements and things like that. Like you're making the game. I made a point of this as sort of saying it on a Facebook comment, and rugby league is for all shapes, all sizes, all people. You're essentially you're just rubbing the big bopper out of the game.
Yeah.
That's all you're doing.
Because you're basically, and I think a couple of people have come out, like you said, Nathan Cleary. He likes the rules to an aspect, but the main thing about the rule change is, and his quote is, now there's not much time to catch your breath. You're constantly on the go with the play the balls now once the ball goes out. So you're right. It's essentially rubbing the big boppers out.
But then they want to try and you hear all the guys on NRL 360 and all these sorts of shows and stuff like that. They still want the interchange reduced. What do they want from rugby league?
Yeah.
What do they want from their players?
Yeah, no, I don't. You can't.
I was blue in the face last year. All this is going to do is create more soft tissue injuries.
And
you're putting your players through a whole lot of duress that they don't need to be putting themselves through, and they're going to. And it leads to sloppy football. It leads to mistakes. Whether it's dropping the ball, whether it's making a tackle that you shouldn't be making, stepping off a foot that you shouldn't be stepping off because you're under fatigue. Boom! There goes an ACL. There goes an ankle.
I like it the other way. I think you need more interchange players when you have these rules. You have to, because of what you just said. Then
they simply cannot drop to six and then supposedly four interchanges.
Yeah.
It can't happen. Even then, you rub out players like David Clemmer, Jason Tamalolo. They just become ineffective. Yay, we're getting the small guy involved, and it's more ad-lib rugby league. That's terrific. Those guys were involved 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
With the rules that they were before. It just boggles the mind that the way that they're trying to do these things. It's for all shapes, all sizes. It's mind-boggling.
It to me, and it also all they're really doing is trying to have that every game's got to be like the state of origin, and that's just not the case.
You can't have that.
It's like the NBA All-Star game. You have the best players that play in the game. Yes, there's Kiwis and that, and I get that. I'm not disputing that they should be, you know, all that sort of stuff. But that's that. Is that a
They're making emphasis on test football then. Don't just throw test football in the garbage heap. Yeah. And go out there and say the only best players that are in rugby league are from Queensland and New South Wales. Oh, but hang on. Oh, if you've lived here since you were 13, that's one criteria. If you went to school in Queensland, but you played with your first club in New South Wales. Oh no, that means you're a New South Wales. But just the rules for picking who you're going to play for and you know your eligibility for State of Origin, they're absolutely effing ridiculous.
I agree.
They make it too complicated. It just needs to be stripped down, simplified. And the thing is that everybody buys into the hype. Everybody buys into it. That goes, you're saying that Queensland and New South Wales that means that's the best football. That must be the best football, and it's not. It's simply not. It needs to be stripped down, brought back to basics. I don't have the answers right now, and I'm sure that we could sort of think about that as the season goes on. But do you know what I mean? Like it just throws away your Pacific nations. It throws away any sort of expansion and any sort of growth for the game as a whole. Around the world.
Yeah, it does. You were the segue master, because that's the next thing we'll talk about is the expansion teams. So, look, by all accounts, it hasn't been – this still hasn't been confirmed. I think by 2023 they want a 17-side in the competition.
Is this even viable now in these sorts of times?
I don't know, because there's a lot of, and this is where
I honestly don't think so.
And pre-pandemic,
yay, let's get an expansion team in there. If they've lost all this money, I don't know what is happening with crowds this year. I'm only assuming that everything, that the virus is all under control and we can go back to, normal crowds and get bums on seats throughout this season. So, but they still lost all that money that they did last year.
I don't think so for what they're sort of putting these four clubs for through. But the ones that they're looking, the four teams pretty much, it is sort of narrowed down to are the Brisbane Bombers. I'll say the next team next, the Western Corridor. The reason I'm saying those two is they've confirmed now that they're doing a joint bid to expand. The Redcliffe Dolphins
What do they consist as the Western Corridor? What do they think that is?
And the Brisbane Firehawks. So the Western Corridor is Ipswich Jets. Exactly what you said. You said before we got on the pod. It's essentially a Western Corridor bid that's coming from the west of Brisbane. So they're all Brisbane teams at the end of the day.
So it's Brisbane centric. we want to grow the game a little bit. So to hell with a second team in New Zealand. To me, the team that makes absolute perfect sense, time wise, time zone wise, and everything is Perth.
I agree, but that
totally makes sense.
But
live game at 9:30 at night, and it's only 7:30 over there.
I think you need a second team in Brisbane, but you do. I agree. I think you need another Western team. I don't think you need 18 teams.
You're not growing the game by having another team in Brisbane.
Well, and this is what I'm saying. This is why I don't know if it's going to happen. So what Peter Volandis has sort of said is a second Brisbane team is likely, but it has to require $15 million for startup costs, an annual revenue of up to $30 million, and to be able to attract new fans and sponsors without cannibalizing the Brisbane Broncos supporter base. And develop pathways and all that. So, that's money. Yeah, I can sort of see they have the money and then the revenue will just sort of come over time. But the attracting new fans is going to be the hardest thing. It has to be the hardest thing.
Well, that's it. To me, if it's going to be Brisbane, then obviously the Redcliffe Dolphins or the Ipswich Jets. make the most sense. They're fairly well, I guess, sort of household names. Yeah, you know, obviously in Queensland they're household names. You know, in the Q Cup, they've got the backing of, you know, of money that, you know, the Redcliffe Dolphins has got huge backing and
the
Leagues Club, which is right there.
They have $100 million behind them in financial support. And even Wayne Bennett, who they're targeting because his contract had come up at that time, has said they're the number one contender due to their financial backing. So they have the infrastructure in place. They have a 40,000 member Leagues Club, which is absolutely huge, and a shopping center. So yeah, it makes the most sense. I mean, they've got current Queensland players there. Old Queensland players there. You know, Adam Moggs, their current coach, former Queensland State of Origin player. Petro Simonisiva and Brent Tate facilitate in some way, and they used to play there. So
that's right. That was his pathway. You know, into the Brisbane Broncos and in the NRL was the Redcliffe Dolphins.
So it makes sense. I just think they're up against it. I think from what you said at the start,
they're up against the pandemic that's happened. The thing that I sort of am worried about the most about it is diluting the talent pool.
And I don't like, and I never have. I don't like the having a bye because one team's gonna have to have a bye every week.
No,
I
of
don't
course. Like that. Yeah, it's stupid. You've got to do, and as much as I hate to say it, you've got to do what the AFL did, and you've got to bring in two teams.
You have to. I hate odd teams.
Bye is ridiculous because you'll never. Everybody cracks up about when they have the bye. Just have a look at not so much. You have the bye early. You know, teams will crack up. Oh, that means we just got to play more football towards the end of the season. You have the bye late, then we've got to play too much football at the start of the season. You never please teams with the bye.
No. That's what I mean. I hate it. Like, you name me a sport that has odd number of teams. Basketball doesn't. Soccer doesn't.
The NBL did for a little bit, but at least with the NBL you can play midweek games. You can make up. Do you know what I mean? Like you can play, you know, you can play on a Sunday and then play on a Wednesday. Like it's not as physically demanding on the body, you know, hurt wise as what rugby league. You know, look at the NFL. You know, they have byes, but you know that they have two teams have the bye. As the season progresses, they have four teams that have the bye.
They also have 32 teams.
That's right. They also have 32 teams. So that's right. Yeah, these teams need the bye. But the reason that I just feel that's not the right time to do it is just sustainability of mm-hmm. of league at the moment
mm-hmm.
is, you know, yeah, they've got to try and make up the money that they lost last year.
That
could take 5 years.
The only thing that makes sense, and not every team can get through this. A Sydney team has to move.
That's always been on the chopping block is a Sydney team to pick up and move, and that sucks for the Sydney team's supporter base that they do whoever they feel the need is to move. I don't like that either, but that to me seems to be the only way around it. And you hear of teams like the Cronulla Sharks, St. George Illawarra, the teams that are maybe struggling a little bit financially. I know Cronulla has got the backing of all the land that they own around the stadium and stuff like that. Pretty sure I have that right. They've got real estate.
Yeah.
Backing them, so they're probably not. It's the struggling teams like that have the league on standby, saying, "Hey, maybe you should come out and pick up and move." And that 100% sucks for that team's fan base.
But if you know $100 million carrots out there, you know. I'm sure that could help.
It's like the old Telstra Stadium, ANZ Stadium, do for struggling home teams that have that take their home games away from their little boutique stadiums like Leichhardt Oval and Campbelltown and Cogra and places like that, and they offer them whatever it was, $1 million, $2 million to go play in an 85,000-seater stadium, and you get 10,000 people in there. It looks ridiculous, but the clubs, simply, especially clubs like that, that, you know, the West Tigers and St. George and teams like that, simply cannot turn that money down because, you know, because they're under the pump. They're struggling a little bit. So that they've got no choice but to take that cash that Telstra Stadium and ANZ Stadium were offering for them to come and play at their ridiculously oversized stadium. It is what it is. And if they want to take, if it's a cash grab like that, then that's generally what it is. I don't like that. I like rugby league being played in those stadiums that house 20,000
that's
and you want to see people hanging off the rafters at Leichhardt Oval and places like that. It looks ridiculous when you have, you know, these teams that go to, yeah, they go
stadium
to
Australia
ANZ
and
that's
have
right. Go to ANZ Stadium. There's 10,000 or 12,000 yeah. people there.
Oh, I,
yeah. You know what I mean? It's 80,000 stadium.
My
looks
God.
Ridiculous.
I said that right. It is. You're right. It is. It is.
They wonder,
so hopefully
they wonder. They wonder why, you know, people in Melbourne and places laugh at rugby league when they do that. And they have a stadium that's like that, and it's people. The only gripe I have with ANZ Stadium is it's a bit of a biatch to get to.
Yeah, of course
that's
it is.
It's a beautiful stadium.
It's a beautiful stadium.
It's just a muggle to get to.
Who wants to stay at Parramatta? That's a problem.
It's just a muggle to get to. That's all. If you live on the wrong side of town, you got to take three trains.
Yeah, it's true. You have to take three trains.
People just simply don't want to do that.
All right, well, we'll go start going through the teams, the 16 teams. We'll talk about ins and outs. Just sort of break down a little bit of everything. Might as well start. I'll say the teams, and then Miles will just say his ins and outs and everything like that. We'll work off each other, but easy to go in alphabetical, so I'll start with the Brisbane Broncos.
Oh man, where do you want to start with the incumbent wooden spooners?
Well, I mean, I guess the first thing to start is the obvious, the new coach, Kevin Walters.
That's right. Look, you know, Kevy throughout this offseason is putting his stamp on the team, you know, from the get go, all right? So they haven't got the biggest gains in the world. You know, they're not lighting up the internet with who they've got. So they lured back David Mead from the Super League. They poached John Asiata from the Cowboys, and Dale Copley's come back from the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
The big thing for me is their losses this year. Now obviously the biggest loss there is David Fifita, and we all knew about this even before the season finished last year that he's gone to the Gold Coast. Jack Bird, who has played, you know, a handful of games in the three and a bit years that he was there, obviously had injuries each of those years. Very disappointed for him. You know, they signed him on a pretty big contract. He's gone. Andrew McCulloch, who they got back from Newcastle, who they loaned, he is now gone, and he's gone to St. George Illawarra. Darius Boyd and Matt Gillette have retired, and to me, I think, you know, just as big a loss, as Joe offering Gowie, him leaving and going to the West Tigers. That's a massive loss.
It is. I think so. I think they're in the. It's exactly what you said at the start. I think Kevy's having the shape, I mean, his squad, the way he, with what's in front of him. I mean, he's let go really of that sort of, not, and it's not Jack Bird's fault, but that ridiculous contract that he was on. He was injured the whole time.
They had to get rid of that. That's not his fault.
You know, he's also, unfortunately, lost David Fifita and Darius Boyd retired. There's a bit of money to play there.
That frees up some cash.
That frees up some huge cash. That'd have to be, you know, well, Jack Bird's was about 800, so was Darius's. I'm assuming Fafita would have been on some sort of decent money. So
I think he was on like sort of his first extension, which wasn't gigantic. But you know, obviously you got the massive contract with the Gold Coast. So that if they had kept David Fafita, that would have cost them as much as what the Gold Coast pumped out, like, you know, whatever it was, $1.2 million a season. So it was pretty big. Look, they've got some injury and suspension issues to start off this season. Obviously, Katoni Staggs, who got hurt late in the season, he's gone for at least, you know, the first 10 weeks of the season, if not more. Payne Huss has been suspended for 4 weeks to start the season off with his little outburst towards police throughout the off season. Which was just ridiculous. Look, as a player, he's unbelievably destructive and everything of that. They were looking at him possibly as being a captain for this side, which is just pure insanity. He does not give off any qualities of a captain. And you listen to Gordon, Gordon Tallis comes out and says, like, you know, that. To him, and it's his opinion, and it would be argumentative to say that this is the most prestigious captaincy in the NRL.
It is, because
they want to give it to this joker who has these outbursts against police, against a woman police officer. Yeah, you know, saying, oh, just because you're a woman doesn't mean I won't give you what for as well. Like, what a dickhead.
I think an absolute
dickhead.
I think it was the back of the way he was playing last year. I know he had, which it wasn't his fault, but I know he was sort of caught up in some online sort of stuff. But because Tony Staggs, to me, has to be their captain going forward. I think he has to move to 5'8". If they've only signed Milford for another year, I think Katoni Staggs is just built for that 5'8" and built for a captain.
He looked pretty good last year, sort of slotting it as a running 5'8". I didn't mind the move.
No, I loved it. I think he can ascend. I really think he can ascend. You know, get his name, get in that Queensland squad. I love the way he plays. I think he's a great ball. I love ball running 5'8". I always have. Always have.
Oh, look, yeah, and that's the thing. But you in this day and age, you can't be super one-dimensional like that. So you've got to bring a little bit more to the table than just a running game. So they have come out and named Alex Glenn as the captain for this year, which I think is the right move, the right thing to do. The thing that they've sort of got to sort out, you know, in the immediate future as well is who the hell they want to play at number seven. I don't know what sort of mind games Kevy's playing at the moment with, oh, I'm going to name Tom Dearden as the number seven, yet Tom Dearden has been cited right here in this very city in Townsville, talking with Cowboys management, possibly brokering a deal to come up here to maybe replace Jake Clifford, who is going to Newcastle at the end of this season. So they come out and say, Brody Croft's our man. He's been training at number seven. Then, like, 2 days later, it's like, no, we're not going to go with Brody Croft now. We're going to have, you know, Tom Dearden train at number seven, and we're going to give him all those first-team reps and everything like that. So make up your freaking mind.
I think he's doing the smart thing. I mean, he's a Mackay Jr. I think he's doing the smart thing by putting his name out there, you know, saying there was reports he was at, you know, North Queensland. But I would just say he's there. I dare say he's up there probably to visit family and friends. But he has come out literally a day ago, 2 days ago, and said, I want to stay at Redhill. I want to be at the Broncos. So I mean, he's only 19 too, so... There's, you know, you'd have to resign him. I've seen it. I'm not saying he's not even close to being there yet, but at 19 years old,
he shows flashes under Kevy.
Under Kevy, he can build that potential. You'd have to sign him.
It's the potential factor, and that's why I guess they sort of want to keep him around. And then that sucks for someone like Brody Croft, who they brought in from the Melbourne Storm. And now he's got to run. Weird? He's got to run around in the Q Cup.
Isn't that weird? We were talking about literally, and again, this is not Kevy's fault because he didn't sign him, but we're talking about a guy that was supposed to be the number seven for ages when he was signed from Melbourne, and he's potentially going back to the Q Cup. It's yeah, he didn't play that well last year either. So
no, but that's neat. But you find it hard to think that they're going to drop Milf.
Oh, that's
just
right.
Just purely
yeah.
on his contract size. Well, do you know what I mean? Like the goal. I sort of liken that to what the Gold Coast did with Ash Taylor, you know, and his massive contract. You build, if he's down on confidence, okay, but you have to play him. You have to justify that salary. You've got to have him in there.
Where do you think they'll sort of finish?
I still think we're just. They'll probably have a poor start to the season just with the personnel that they're missing, and that could ultimately cost them in the end. I still think that they could be a bottom four side. I think they'll be struggling to even get anywhere close to the top eight this year.
I agree. There is no chance in hell, and I will put money on this, there is no chance in hell that Broncos will win the wooden spoon 2 years in a row.
They won't get the spoon. Absolutely not.
But I
already know who's going to get the spoon this year. But
yeah, me too. They'll be. I think bottom four too. It's still a rebuilding year, Kevin.
Yeah, of course.
You know, he's going to have so much money to play with. Anthony Milford's off contract as well.
That's right. There's no way in hell that they re-sign him.
There's huge money Kevy's gonna play with. This year's transition. It's Broncos, they don't have that allure anymore, so he's gonna have to work his tail off, Kevy.
That's right, exactly.
The next team is the Canberra Raiders.
Not a lot of home run hits here for who they've picked up in the off season. They picked up Caleb Akins from the Penrith Panthers.
Yep.
Obviously that before the season ended last year, they'd already signed Ryan James,
yep,
who is coming off just a devastating knee injury for the Gold Coast the year before. Basically didn't play, very limited last year. So he's sort of looking to rebuild his reputation down there in Canberra. And their big signing is second rower from Wigan, Harry Rushton.
Harry Rushton, yeah.
So they're doing their recruiting over in the Super League and over in England. Like, they've lost John Bateman and Nick Kotrick this year.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, not a whole lot of movement. I think Ricky Stewart is sort of, you know, steady the course, and will sort of run everything back with minimal changes. He's got some good young players there at Canberra that he can sort of, you know, mold and bring those guys off the bench and hopefully eventually be a starter. It was Hudson Young, got guys like that who are young. And they can sort of, yeah, they can sort of bring in off the bench and get them to be good first grade players.
I think the key with them is what they did last year in the re-signings. They re-sign the following players, and it's their core and all to long-term contracts. Jared Croker till 2024. Josh Papali, 2025.
Right.
Rapana for another year. Sully Ola for another year. Tom Starling till 2022. And Jack White until 2024. That was their key. That's they've done it.
And look, they did unbelievably well to get as far as they did. I'll be the first to admit, I wrote them off last year. Mm-hmm. As soon as Hodgson went down, I wrote them off.
Oh, we said it. We said it on the pod.
Both of us said it.
We said, they're gone. They weren't.
I know, and that's a testament to Ricky Stewart. That's a testament to their depth. You know, Tom Starling come in there, played great. You know, they tried to plug and play Havili there at dummy half, didn't quite work. You know, they got the young kid there, Tom Starling. They put him into the side and he played great. So what I think will be for me, you know, is Greg Williams, the halfback that they brought across with the most gigantic nose known to man. It rivals Triple H. as biggest noses in sports. But you know, his pairing with Jack Whiten again for another year, how they can sort of build and grow that combination, and them to sort of, you know, just push themselves into that upper echelon of, you know, top halves combinations. Yeah. And the other thing is too, is can, you know, Hodgson has had two season ending injuries the last 2 years. Like, his durability, like that to me, that comes into question. Just keep putting your team, you know, under pressure like that, you know, when you're a key aspect to what they do, you know, as one of their, you know, of their so-called spine, you know, in inverted commas. And he's a key factor that makes that engine run. So if he goes down again this year, they did fantastic last year. I can't see them making another run like they did last year. I think that was just one of those anomalies, and you can't keep constantly losing a player the class of Josh Hodgson. You just can't.
No. I think they'll finish, if he's healthy, I think they finish top four. I think that's just going to happen.
They're an absolute top four team.
They just because of their spine and again, we said spine. As long as he's healthy, they are an absolute top four team.
And look, one of the most underrated players in the whole of the league running around there in Jared Croker as well. Like, he does not get the just dues that he deserves.
Yeah, correct.
If he was a Queenslander, he would have played 10 State of Origins by now.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what I mean?
And that's why they re-signed him to a long, like, four-year contract.
Well, he's going to miss the first couple of weeks too. He's sort of dealing with a couple of little niggling injuries. So how much that hurts him, I don't think it'll be. He's still a key player to what they do, you know, and he's an amazing goal kicker as well. Mm-hmm. The absolute, you know, at the peak of their powers, they're an absolute top four team.
The next team, you might have to have a page on just their gains and losses, the Canterbury Bulldogs. New coach in Trent Barrett, and he was able to immediately start signing players.
No, that's right. You know, they've got that O-Car for 2022. Yeah. You know, so they've got more troops coming next year. Something that we sort of posted on the Facebook page there, which I think is the most unbelievably awesome thing that they could do, is put in a trade window to stop this BS of, oh yeah, no, I'm just going to sign there in 5 years. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he'd already committed to this deal 2022. Yeah. Like, we haven't played a single minute of rugby league yet in 2021.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that these things just simply cannot happen.
And he put them in a barrel. They were never going to say no because they wanted someone of the way he plays, of his caliber. So he basically dictated it, which he shouldn't. The players shouldn't dictate. You know, this is the whole thing with the NBA. You know, the whole. I like players that dictate where they want to go and all that, and to an aspect, but they don't dictate
where they want to go and say, oh, hey, I want to go play for the Detroit Pistons in 2023.
They sort of do. I still think they do with the NBA, but it alienates the fans.
Right,
too.
The Detroit Pistons is probably a really bad example, it's just the first thing that popped into my head. But do you know what I mean? That doesn't happen. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they very subtly sort of, you know, force their way. Even it's happening in the NFL at the moment. But it's happening for the upcoming season. It's not happening. Hey, I want to go somewhere in 2 years.
Well, what happens in the NRL all the time? I mean, the worst one that ever happened to me, and I still think it is the worst, where Daly Cherry Evans had signed a contract with Gold Coast.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
Still signed a second contract with Manly. We didn't sign it, but he did.
Dirty backflip and SOB. So
we'll go back to the Bulldogs. So their gains this year are Corey Allen from the Rabbitohs till 23. Nick Kotrick, we mentioned before, till 23. Kyle Flanagan from the Roosters till 23.
Yeah, massive, massive signing.
You
don't say it very often, but they're idiots for letting him go and making him the scapegoat for, we did make another grand final and win a premiership. Like, that's bull crap.
I know he's going to prove him wrong. I like Jack.
Absolutely, he is.
I like Jack Hetherington. I think that's another great signing from the Warriors. Till 23. These are long-term contracts.
That's right.
A few others like Jackson Tapine. Corey Waddell was another big one. From Manly till 2023.
Have they still got Matt Burton on their radar? They've got him from Penrith. So they've got some depth now in the halves.
Yeah.
And losing a few players as well. Like, you know what I mean? Like
they lost
Aiden Tolman. Them not re-signing them. They're idiots for not doing that. Like, that's crazy talk. He was one of the best players last year, Aiden Tolman. Obviously they've let go Kieran Foran, and they just could no longer handle that gigantic salary for not a whole lot of games. Suaso Su is gone. He's gone to Newcastle, so that's a good pickup for them.
Jack Cobber's gone as well.
That's why I didn't write that down, because that's not a big loss for them. Like,
what about Montoya?
He's simply just not a first grade player. Sorry,
Marcelo Montoya? Do you mind him? I didn't mind.
Montoya too bad. Gone as well. Remus Smith, leaving as well. Like, that's big.
I think that's a great pickup for Melbourne. I know we'll talk about that later. I think that's a very good pickup for Melbourne Storm. But I like some of the signings. I mean, the top three we just said: Corey Allen, Nick Kotrich, and Kyle Flanagan.
Their front office and obviously Trent Barrett, who's the new coach there, have got a lot of work to do.
Yes.
So they've got 16 players coming off contract at the end of this year.
Yes, they do.
So they've got a lot of work to do. No more bigger names than Dylan Napa and Will Hopewadi. They're the sort of guys that had head that list.
I think the runs that they re-sign, you're Josh Jackson, sort of Lachlan Lewis, but Adam Elliott and Watene Lizeg. Oh my God, Dylan Watene Zelegniak. I've got to say this right for the whole year, but I think they've re-signed the right players. I think that you're right. I think they have a lot of work to do. Nick Meaney as well. You know, they're forward. They could potentially lose a huge amount of forwards.
That's right.
I think
they should be movers and shakers this season.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be fighting it out for the spoon like they were last year. I think they're not going to make the eight, but I think they're going to surprise a lot of teams this year.
I think it'll be once we see the team gel together with a huge amount of signings, like any team, the team chemistry would be there.
It might take a while.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think they got more work in the back office these off contract than anything. Oh, yeah. Or don't sign these off contract ones and start recruiting as hardcore as you can. You know, you've recruited one big name. I'm sure you can get others. I don't see them just on Addo Carr alone. I don't see them signing Will Hopewadi. I think he'll go somewhere else. Just to throw that one out. The next one's the Sharks. They picked up Coleman.
They have not made a whole lot of moves.
Don't have money, personally.
The big signing for me that I thought was big enough for them was Aiden Tolman.
He's a workhorse.
He is. It's lunacy that Canterbury let him go. Honestly.
But their off contract is huge.
Well, they're in the same boat as Canterbury. They got a lot of work to do behind the scenes as well.
Sean Johnson. I don't think they re-signed this guy. It's Josh Dugan. Matt Moylan.
They're the big three for me. Is Dugan, Johnson, and Moylan.
Aaron Woods. Bronson Cherry's gone. Screwed it up.
That's a whole different kettle of fish there.
Cherry. Yeah. Who was their best player last year? You're Sean Johnson. I would have to sew him up because someone's going to take him like that, surely.
No, that's right. And look, you know, it's a signing for next year, you know, like we said, the signing of a big signing of Aiden Tolman for this year. But the big signing that they sort of had once again, like Canterbury has done, is the signing of Cameron McGuinness from St. George Illawarra. They signed him to a 3-year deal. And then basically proceeds to do his, I'm pretty sure it's his ACL in a training run for St. George over the course of the preseason, and you know McGuinness is done for the season, so he's basically played his last game for St. George Illawarra. So the next time that we see him suit up will be for the Cronulla Sharks. So for me, that just my initial reaction to that was, boy, they don't think a whole lot of the young kid Brayley that's there at dummy half.
Yeah.
But then you sort of sit down and think about it and go, well, I guess he'll be, you know, McGuinness will be Mr. Fix-It like he was for St. George, you know, in the previous season, you know, playing at dummy half, playing at lock. So that will most likely be his role. But obviously they sold him on something, Cam McGuinness. To lure
you
him
love him, but from, so I mean, I'm not being thin because I do too. I think
he's terrific.
I think that is the. I still can't. I'm sure we'll talk about the Dragons later, but that decision does not make any sense at all. I do not get that decision because of who they signed, but we'll talk about that later. I just, I don't know. Maybe it's possibly money because they've got a lot of contract players, but. They, like, I think you mentioned it before what we were talking at the start. I think they have that development around them. So, you know, maybe they are coming into some money. They all had those money problems before, and that was purely because of all the, but, you know, the, well, I mean, it's probably black and white, all the drug issues and all that sort of stuff. And that
yeah,
was
well,
happening.
You know, peptides ran deep in that system there when they, when they were at the peak of their powers, funnily enough, they won a premiership in 2016, right at the peak of that. So anyway, we won't go into that. Sorry, Fergo, but we're just totally discrediting your premiership of 2016, which took you 50 freaking years to win. At least the Cowboys won one in 20.
Well, I would, because everyone took Melbourne, so take theirs. Just to throw that out there. Because they beat Melbourne to what? But anyway, I think the Sharks, if Johnson stays healthy, I think they push the eight. I really think they have to push the eight.
I think that they'll be there or thereabouts. Sean Johnson won't be ready till about round four or five. So that's sort of they're going to have no choice but to play Matt Moylan. You know, in the halves, I don't think they've got any option, but. As long as they don't replicate what they did last year and not beating a top eight side all season, they've got to beat the big guns. Yeah. Otherwise, nobody's going to take them seriously. Simple.
The next team is probably the most, I wouldn't say polarizing team, but the team that everyone's going to watch next year, and that's the Gold Coast Titans.
Well, they're certainly one of the most talked about teams over the off season, and even towards the end of the season last year, you know, winning five straight, and my man AJ Brimson sort of, you know, catapulting himself into a State of Origin jersey, and then, you know, being unceremoniously hurt and not being able to play. Look, lots and lots of player movement, and you know, and big gun signings. For the Gold Coast, you know, obviously none bigger than David Fifita.
And big guns leaving too.
I know everyone's talking
about the gains, but you know they have lost a few decent players too. But sorry, go through the gains you
That's
mentioned.
Right. Look, you know, and they picked up Patrick Herbert from the New Zealand Warriors. I don't mind that signing. They picked up Herman Sasa from. From Newcastle, like that side, they are going to have a super menacing forward pack.
Oh, and Tino, big Tino,
and big Tino for Suamala Ali from the Melbourne Storm. So their forward pack is going to be extremely menacing. Now, my question is to you: who plays at lock? Who plays at 13?
It has to be Tino. I think Fifita is a second rower.
Oh no, absolutely. I throw you another name, Tyrone Peachy. Look, he found his own at the back end of that season, playing at 13. So did a little bit of a deep dive into what he did throughout the end of the last season. So it was with him and the team at playing at 13. They never lost a game. Mm-hmm. So they obviously won their five games at the end of the season. Yeah, averaging around the 110 meters per game, which is, you know, which is admirable for, you know, for a guy. Yeah, you know, not that he's small, but you know, he's a decent hitter upper of the ball. The thing that sort of stood out to me was his tackle efficiency, 94%. So just doesn't miss a tackle, playing in the middle of the field, essentially. So it just. I know they've got that, and it's a terrific problem to have. Who the hell do we put in there? I thought he really found his own playing at 13 last year. It clearly didn't work in previous games. Him being a sort of plug and play type player. Oh, let's put him in at the centers because we're down there. Let's put him in at interchange. It just for me, you know, him finding that stability. And knowing that he's going to be in the 13 jumper every week, he really relished in that. And I think Tino can be in that mold of, you know, from the team that he just came from in the Melbourne Storm, in that Nelson Asafa-Solomona. He could start in 15, in, you know, in 15, he could start for Melbourne. But
yeah.
He comes off the bench. He's a massive impact player. I think Tino can do the same. And I don't think there's any shame in coming off the bench, even if you're still getting starters minutes. We say that in the NBA all the time. Who gives a crap if you come off the bench? If you're getting starters minutes and you're making an impact in the game, and if you're finishing games, that means they trust you at the end of the game. So who cares if you're in the run-on side?
You don't see them both being on there? I agree with your argument. I agree. I think from what he's not a center. That's proven. He's definitely not a center.
It's just the continuity. That's the problem. It's week to week him going into training, and then they're going, oh well, we might throw we're down a couple of guys in the centers. We'll throw you out there this week. Like it's all about continuity and consistency, and that's like with a lot of NRL footballers.
And he played at the only, that Burley Bears game that they played against the Burley Bears. Granted, you know, it was a second string side anyway, but, a couple of them did sort of play. I could see both of them on. I imagine having Peachy there, who's a ball playing lock.
That's
right. And then Tino and Fifita in that second row. It'd be hugely menacing.
They're going to be a very, very menacing forward pack.
But
sort of limit them to one side of the field, you know, being Fifita and Tino. But, you know, what a combo that'd be. You know, there's not a lot, you know, there's not a lot of deficiencies there. The thing that's sort of glaring to me.
You have to have Poxa's there.
That's right.
He has to be there.
Their biggest weakness at the moment is number 9. Now, are they in the mix in the Cameron Smith sweepstakes?
So they released Nathan.
He's done, right? He's done.
Now they released Nathan.
He is not signed for anybody right now. You cannot expect a team for him to waltz in and go, "Hey, guess I'm Cameron Smith. I can just fit into any." You can't do that.
Okay, so
he's done, right? He's done, unless he's going back to Melbourne.
Hold up, he's not going to Melbourne. That I can guarantee. He is 100% not going to Melbourne. I deep dive into Cameron Smith because
as much as I've guaranteed that Drew Brees is retiring this year.
No, he's not going to Melbourne. Okay, Bellamy's confirmed it. The CEO's confirmed and he's confirmed it. He's staying
on the Gold Coast at the moment with his kids and he's training in parks.
He's staying with his kids the entire year. He's not going back and forth to Melbourne. He's not playing for Melbourne Storm. That I can guarantee. So Nathan Peach was released. So their biggest hole is the 9. You mentioned it already. He showed up at Parks. He showed up at every single trial match that the Gold Coast Titans have.
I just find that extremely unfair to just go, hey, it's a week before the season or it's 2 weeks into the season or whatever. Hey, our number 9's not working. Hey, Cam, go on, come in and solve all their problems for us.
But why? It's either going to be them or Brisbane because why not announce your retirement after a great grand final win.
Just to say something. That's what I can't work out. He's had the whole offseason to work this out.
I do not. What? Why can't? I don't get it.
That's what I think it's done.
That's what I think it's the other way. I think because he's not saying that he's retired, I think he wants to play another year. I think he's just waiting. He's still
waiting
training.
For what?
I'm assuming
there's two clubs in the southeast of Queensland that are extremely, extremely interested in your services. And you're just going to go, I don't want the sun and the surf, you know, don't want the big city. I don't know.
There's no plausible reason not to name your retirement. It's both ways. I think he plays. I really do.
Just make a freaking decision.
You're right. He's not playing for Melbourne. They've moved on from that. I know about.
They're going to have to. Well, we'll talk about Melbourne in a minute, but they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to do something because they've got two quality dummy halves now. They've fixed that.
But yeah.
Sure they have.
Interestingly enough, Cameron Smith is returning to Amy Stadium this week. So, but that's, you know, he's not playing for Melbourne. It does not make sense. I know we're harping on you, but it does not make sense not saying retire. I think he plays.
Just make a goddamn decision.
Okay, blank money, you know the teams we've already mentioned.
Well, how much does the Gold Coast have in the salary cap?
Well, just pretend that he can probably take whatever, but let's just say, for argument's sake, they both can sign him. We've just named both the teams. Who needs him more? Right now, who needs him more? It has to be the Gold Coast Titans. They are well set up better than the Brisbane Broncos.
Well, not so much who needs him more, who's in a better position as a club?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Look at the turmoil that's happening in Brisbane at the moment. With players. Yeah. Of course it's the Gold Coast.
They'll, they did it just before we move on to the Gold Coast. They did a few good re-signings. Your boy Brimson, Fogarty as well, you know, and Kevin Proctor, Philip Semi as well. Do they, I know we'll just quickly move on from them, but do they, it's always been that.
They got to capture that lightning in a bottle again.
Do they re-sign their number seven?
If it's going to happen, then there's going to have to be a major restructure in his contract, and it'll be very short term, 1 to 2 years.
It can't be a million a year.
No, absolutely not. Unless he comes out and plays the house down and represents Queensland and Australia at the end of the year. Anything short of that and him being just absolutely spectacular and him leading the Gold Coast and him being the main reason the Gold Coast make the finals and him being, up there in the Dally M points total at the end of the year, he's just not getting that money at the Gold Coast. He might get that money somewhere else,
but if
he wants to stay at the Gold Coast, then it'll be a major, major restructure in money.
I think they'll be top eight this year. I don't think that's a shadow of the doubt. I think they can be top eight.
As a team that I follow and have great interest in, I do think that there's a little bit of doubt. Like I said, a lot of different players. Team chemistry is going to be a big thing, but if they can capture that lightning in a bottle with Brimson, Fogarty, Taylor playing well, the key is the number nine position. You don't have to worry about the forward pack. Forward pack will take care of itself.
Yeah.
It's your playmakers, and can they recapture that form, you know, late last year and continue on from that?
I'll move on to the Manly Seagulls. They picked up Josh Alawai from the Tigers till 2023, and Kieran Foran, as we mentioned, aforementioned before, I should say. They did lose Fenua Blake to the Warriors.
Massive
but that was
loss. Huge loss.
That was no fault of their own, That was basically, from everything I kept reading, it was just his wife said, we've got to get out of Manly. So, there was a whole, he said he doesn't want to, she said she doesn't want to be in Manly anymore. And God, this it's This guy just fell off the radar, but they released Tony Williams. What the hell happened to him?
What happened to T-Rex?
I don't get
it. He had the most unbelievable potential when he was running around for the lower grades, you know, at the 20s at Parramatta. He burst onto the scene as, you know, one of the most unstoppable forces with Parramatta. Mm. As soon as he moved clubs, that was it. Gone. Untapped potential. You know who I think of when it's untapped potential like that? Is Dave Taylor.
Dave Taylor. Did you see a picture of him?
He's a monster.
At Park 40, how big he is?
He's a monster.
He was tipping 150.
He works. He works out in the mines. He drives dump trucks.
He was massive. But anyway,
he must eat himself crazy out there.
I think Manly. I don't think we have to spend much on Manly. I think Manly can make top eight. Just honestly, by simply having the two Wubbish brothers there, healthy.
Oh, absolutely.
I think healthy. That's it.
But that's the problem. Tommy Turbo can't stay healthy. I mean, he's gone again.
That's the only way they win. I mean, Cherry Evans, I'm not huge as Cherry Evans fans, but goddamn, he had a good season last year. They finished 13th, but was their best player.
Cherry Evans was a big part of their wins. Yeah. To me, it's trying to rekindle that that chemistry that he had with Kieran Foran that led them to a premiership.
Yeah.
That's the big call with them. Obviously, you know, Tom Trbojevic going down again at training, their record without it
apparently
without him is horrible.
There was a video where he was sprinting down a Manly street too when he was drunk. So anyway, who knows?
Well, hamstrings tend to go like that. So but he's gone for at least the first 4 to 5 weeks of the season. So that is going to hurt them greatly. And the same as the Gold Coast. Who are they playing at nine? So the two names that come to mind who they sort of tried to throw out there and come off the bench, you know, is obviously Croker and Cade Cust. You know, Lachie Croker, they're the only two guys that are on that roster.
I think it has to be Croker.
It's got to be one of those guys.
I think Croker was okay last year. I think it has to be Croker purely because Foran will essentially lock down that number six position.
Absolutely. Both of them as tough as nails.
What happens to Dylan Walker?
Look, he's still there, but he's not playing number nine.
No, but he's not playing number six either. So what happens to Dylan Walker? Or does he play number six?
You're just throwing back into the centres. He's not getting a gig.
He's a good player.
Absolutely. But he's not a six. Sorry, he's not a six.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no. Excuse me, that's fair. No, that's fair.
He's not a six.
We'll move on to Melbourne Storm, last year's premiership winners. We've mentioned a couple of...
Sorry.
They'll win again. Don't you need to worry about them.
Yeah.
I guarantee, I'll put money on it now, I guarantee your team doesn't win the grand final. Just throwing that out.
I'm not saying my team just won't win the grand final. I'm not saying that at all. They're going to struggle to make the eighth this year, but... same old rerun. Yeah, Melbourne makes the finals. Melbourne wins a grand final.
What's your problem with that? That's not our fault. Our biggest thing this year is making sure we somehow work out not to lose Craig Bellamy.
Don't worry. Your time's coming.
We mentioned a couple of signings. Like I said, Remy Smith from Canterbury. Did we mention George Jennings from the Warriors?
George Jennings would pick up too. Yeah. So.
And Jake Haworth as well till 2022. They did lose. I mean, Tino was probably the biggest loss there. And Vunivalu, I think he was always going to Union. Not a think, he was always going to Union. No, so
don't worry. With all rugby union converts, he'll be back.
I know, but I watched one. He'll be back. Not watch game, one game. I watched one YouTube clip, and literally the first touch he had for the Queensland Reds in rugby union, he scored a try.
He'll be back.
The first touch.
As a winger in rugby union, you just don't touch the ball. You just don't touch the ball.
It was amazing.
And he'll get sick of it just like everybody else did. Yeah, Wendell Sale, Lottie Takiri, Matt Rogers.
Oh, I agree.
You don't touch the ball.
I'm
going to go back to rugby league where I actually can get my hands on the ball.
It was so weird. They did the dropout like they do right at the start. They all just looked at the ball. He kept sprinting, and it just got to just before the dead lip ball line, and he put his hand on it in his first touch. Stupid union. Anyway, they also did effectively, they did that sort of, I think, didn't they do that player swap with Panthers? I think Paul Momorowski went to
Momorowski was part of the swap deal with Harry Grant. So they've all gone back to their respected teams So he's obviously Grant's back.
Yeah.
So
well, he's actually moved on to the Panthers. But anyway.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah. So he went back to the Tigers, but he was done. So yeah, that's right. So he's gone to the Panthers. But that was part of the swap deal that those two teams had. On the cards there. So,
look. You mentioned at the start. I think it's pretty evident. You've got your two brilliant number nines. At the end of the day, Harry Grant is. I mean, he proved it for Queensland. He is.
He's your nine.
Your out and out number nine. And in trial games, Brandon Smith has played locked and loved it.
No, absolutely. I'm not saying that, but then what happens? Then what happens to Dal Finucane? Then you've got to limit him to one side of the field to play in the second row, or you got to put him on the bench. And he's consistently been one of their best players in the Storm, playing in a purple Storm uniform.
He's a New South Welshman. Like, is a consistent New South Welshman?
Absolutely.
He has been playing there, but then
it's
sort
a nice
of
problem to have, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that is true. But Finucane. Yeah, he played in the second round in a couple of trial games. It's a very nice problem to have, exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, really, what do you say? I mean, they.
But then what? That's what I mean. So you've only got two second row spots. So it means either Felice Kaufusi or Kenny Bromwich gets squeezed out. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just
Kenny Bromwich.
They're international quality players.
Kenny Bromwich, who signed through till 2023, will be on the bench. I don't think he cares. Just on the just lately, just on the contract that was just signed recently with Jerome Hughes, he shunned money from the Warriors to re-sign with Melbourne. So they want to be there. I mean, it's a tried and true thing. That our biggest problem, and I'm going to keep saying it until it actually happens, is not losing Craig Bellamy. That's it.
Oh, of course.
Once that happens, and he'll retire.
That's
he'll
right.
Have to
be prepared for the next 25 years of mediocrity.
I don't know what you're talking about. We'll be fine. No. Hopefully he's got someone in that bag that we don't know about. Like, this is Bellamy, someone that just has just been watching his every movement, just do everything with him.
Oh, well, exactly. It's going to be like when Phil Jackson retires. Yeah, when Phil Jackson left the Bulls, what happened to the Chicago Bulls? Nothing. Yeah, when Phil Jackson left the LA Lakers, what happened to them? Nothing. Yeah, he's one of the best coaches, one of the greatest coaches the game's ever had. You cannot replace a guy like him.
No, you can't. Hopefully we don't go into mediocrity. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. We don't need to talk much about Melbourne. They should make top four. I mean, that's glaringly evident. Yes, they lost Cameron Smith, but they also had a number nine that was brilliant for the Maroons. So, oh my God, it's an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, no, that's it. Exactly.
Next team is the New Zealand Warriors. Now,
based here again in Australia until at least June 21st.
Another one of the teams that got another new coach in Nathan Brown.
Boy, he's got a tough job ahead of him. And look, when he took over Newcastle those few years ago, he had a mammoth job in front of him. And this is exactly why the Warriors have got him. Yeah, he built them in. He recruited well. He built them into a side that actually has expectations. And that's what the Warriors need.
And got unfairly shunned, I thought. I thought he was.
Absolutely. That was disgusting.
I think they've made some key signings. I mean, yes, for Noah Blake, we mentioned. They Kane Evans as well from Parramatta Eels. Ewan Aiken as well, from the Dragons.
That's their key signing, is Ewan Aiken.
And there's also a couple others. Like Ben Murdoch, Massalia from the Wolves has come back from Warrington.
Yeah, he's come back from Warrington.
And Bailey Sirinen.
That's right.
Yeah, I thought he played pretty well for the Rabbitohs, sorry, towards the end of the year. They have had a lot of losses, but like that's always.
And in saying that, like, you know, they've Patrick Herbert, Lachlan Burr, you know, Lachlan Burr's gone to the Cowboys.
I think brilliant by you.
Ignatius Parsi leaving and going to St. Helens. I think he should be good over in the Super League. And obviously Adam Blair retiring. So look, a few glaring holes in their lineup, and they've got to try and capitalize on once again rugby union coming along and sort of poaching one of rugby league's best players in Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. So
it'll probably excel in union, to be honest.
Oh, absolutely.
He has those.
He wants to play for the All Blacks, and he'll just waltz his and step his way into an All Blacks jersey. So
he's a fringe Dally M player every year. He's one of those players. Every year, he's up there.
Since he's been at New Zealand, he's been the heart and soul. Yeah. And I really hope that doesn't tear the heart out of the New Zealand Warriors. I hope he sort of is. And nothing would seem that he's going to be nothing else but the ultimate professional. Mm-hmm. And he will put, his absolute all 110% effort into every single game this year, playing in a New Zealand Warriors jersey.
And he was completely upfront about everything. He said he wants to play. He didn't. He said he's playing his contract out. He loves the Warriors. He would love to go back to the Warriors, but he wants to play most New Zealand people.
Like I said, with Suliasi Vunivalu, he'll be back.
I'm saying
they all come back.
So what I was gonna say, but what I'm saying is he's like every New Zealand player, like Sonny Bill and all that. They want to have that All Blacks jersey. That is just, it's a huge draw card. It's one of those biggest. It's like any sport that has a huge draw, like the Lakers and all that sort of thing. That team, like Manchester United and Real Madrid,
the All Blacks is the prestige around it.
Yeah. So, I think. It's just from exactly what you said.
How many people are queuing up to play for Manchester United anymore?
Well, maybe not, but maybe the other teams as well, like Real Madrid and Barcelona. I don't think anyone's queuing up to play for Barcelona. But I think they have a huge amount of work. Unfortunately, again, yes, they'll be playing not at their home base. I don't see them making the top eight. Unfortunately, not this year, at least anyway.
No, and like I said, as long as they show improvements, and look, Todd Payton did a bang up job last year, coming in as the interim coach. Brownie has just got, he's got a tough job, and whatever the hell Gus Gould's, role is at the New Zealand Warriors, whatever the hell he's doing over there. I don't know.
If it's similar, and from what I read, if it's similar to what he did at Penrith Panthers.
What's that, interfering in every little club decision?
Probably. But he also got them to where they are.
Also commentating for Channel 9 and just...
I understand.
...annoying the living hell out of Ray Warren.
And we both don't like it as well, but he got them to where they are. He wasn't the only thing, but he was one of those integral parts that got them to where they are. So, next team, the Newcastle Knights. Now... We mentioned a couple of signings, I think no bigger than Tyson Frizzell from the Dragons.
Massive.
It was a shock. I mean, it was sort of like one of those, again, those sort of mid-years towards the end of the year. He was still at the Dragons when they announced it. What do you think? Newcastle is one of those... I think it's sort of put up or shut up for their number one. It's for their number one.
Should have been last year. Like that they've got, they've had the rebuild now. There is absolute expectations for them to be a top eight, top four premiership contender. The pressure is on. Obviously they've, we mentioned a little bit earlier, 2022, they've signed Jake Clifford from the Cowboys. Suaso Sue has come across there. The sneaky little signing that I think will be good for them is Bailey Hodgson coming across from Castleford.
Yeah.
The nephew of Josh Hodgson. Yeah. So a young kid coming across. Hopefully he makes a difference there. They've lost a lot of players as well. Obviously, SASA is gone. McCulloch went back to Brisbane, and there's now a St. George Illawarra. Sione Mataudi has gone to St. Helens, so he's gone to the Super League. Mason Lino is gone. He's gone to Wakefield Trinity, so he's gone. And Aiden Guerra and Tim Glasby have retired.
Which are pretty big losses. They were pretty good last year.
They're all very significant losses, and obviously no more significant loss, especially for round one and potentially the first couple of rounds, is Kalen Ponga. They go as far as he can take them. He's their marquee signing. He's the face of the franchise, so to speak. He's got to be a guy that just plays otherworldly, and we know that he can. He's got to be the guy that fuels that engine.
For them to make the top eight, this is where I think the put up or shut up is him. Kalen Ponga needs to have his name in the Dally M conversation.
Absolutely.
It has to be.
He's got to be healthy, and he's got to be a top five. So he's got to be a top five player in the league, like without a shadow of a doubt.
Because for all the the plaudits he gets, which he sure it's well deserved so far, the plaudits he gets, the massive contracts he keeps signing, he isn't mentioned like in that sort of upper echelon of Dally M best player of the year and all that. Not yet, really. But he's still young. But I think this is his biggest year.
He's got to start living up to those massive zeros that are on the end of his contract.
I think so. I think exactly what you're exactly right.
Consistently. Do you know what I mean? It's doing it week in, week out. Not ducking and diving. You know, he's good for 5 weeks out of six or 5 weeks out of seven. He's got to be doing it every week. He's got to find some new strings to his bow. We all know what he can do. Mitchell Pearce having a good start to the season, getting confidence back in himself and in his game, is a key for Newcastle as well. Obviously well-publicised issues that he's had personally throughout the off-season. There's no real need to sort of go into that.
No.
The thing will be is, obviously, who gets first crack at the number one jersey while Kalen Ponga is out, and it's going to be our man Tex Hoy.
Yes! I'm waiting for you to say it.
Even if he doesn't play first grade a lot this year, you're still going to be hearing his name littered throughout the NRL podcast this year. So get used to that name, Tex Hoy.
He is our favourite player purely because of his name.
Oh, he's the man. He's the man.
How has no company of any like stake out back of anything not gone to him? And just say, can we use your name and you be an ambassador for us?
It's right, Hogsbreath.
Oh my God!
Come into Hogsbreath and get yourself a Tex Hoy.
It just rolls off
the tongue.
I love the name. I love. Yeah, but you're right. Who will get first crack? But he needs to be like Tedesco. It's honestly, I think Kalen Ponga. I think he needs a Dally M season. He needs a Dally M season, and he hasn't had that yet. He needs to justify that big contract. Just one last thing
with Newcastle as well. Obviously, they went through 64 different dummy halves last year. Where is Connor Watson's best position? Because he's still there as well, and he's on a good contract as well coming across from the Roosters. He's been injury plagued since he's been there. He's been the Tyrone Peachy of the Newcastle Knights. They just plug and play him wherever the hell they can try and fit him, whether it's fullback, whether it's dummy half, whether it's off the bench. Where do you think he fits into the team?
Well, I thought he could have been the number nine or off the bench, but he's probably going to have to play 5-8 because they had all their bags in, all their pennies in Blake Green, and unfortunately he got that injury when he was playing for the Bulldogs. So I think he has to.
I think absolutely his best position is number six.
Yeah.
And that sucks for Kurt Mann because last year, Kurt Mann was Mr. Plug and Play and played wherever they needed him. And he played really well at 5-8. You know, he played dummy half. He played off the bench. And once again, it's just one of those nice team problems to have where you're going to try and fit these first-grade caliber players and keeping everybody happy. But, put up or shut up for Newcastle this year. Top eight or bust.
Has to be. Has to be. Next team is your number one team. You've mentioned a couple of teams, but the North Queensland Cowboys.
Yeah, I dabble.
Not me.
You're fully in on the bandwagon of Melbourne Storm.
Oh, bandwagon, my ass. They're another one of the many teams that have a new coach in Todd Payton. Sorry.
No, and Dean Young as an assistant as well. Yeah. Like, don't discredit that as well. I think they have got a very, very new regime happening up here at the moment, and a new philosophy on playing rugby league. So, focusing sort of a little bit more on speed and intensity. So,
I'm a big fan of Lachlan Burr. I think that was a great signing, an astute signing. I think he's good. Look,
I think he's a bench player at best. That didn't really sort of blow my skirt up as a signing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a few losses. Gavin Cooper retiring, him riding off into the sunset. I guess in a poor season last year, he's been a stalwart for the Cowboys, even though he sort of had a few stops along the way with the Gold Coast and the Panthers as well, but. They lost John Asiata to the Broncos, and they've lost Tom Opacek to the Parramatta Eels. They brought back in Javid Bowen. I guess as he's sort of under no illusions that he's going to cash in on his last name anymore. I think he's going to play a lot of games with. I'm not sure if he's. I think he's with the Northern Pride. As one of the 14 feeder sides for the Cowboys. not a lot of player movement. I think they're sort of sticking tried and true with who they obviously Todd Payton believes in the team that he's got there. they got plenty of depth at dummy half. Look, I'll give him that.
The problem with them is that it's the reason they don't have player movement is because their money's tied up to three players.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
In Valentine Holmes, I just lost his name. Michael Morgan, who needs, again, injury aside, I think he needs.
Right. He's got to have
he's
a Caelan Ponga type season. He has got to be one of the best. He's never going to recapture. And I'll say that till I'm blue in the face as well. He will never, ever, 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 ever recapture that form that he showed at the end of the 2017 season. To get them to an unlikely grand final just to get the living piss beaten out of them by Melbourne on grand final day. He'll never recapture that form. He just needs consistency. He needs to be injury free. Them shoulders need to be pain free, and they need to get the right, controlling kicking number seven around him. He has to play at number six, and he has to be a runner of the football. It's plain as the nose on your face, that's what he has to be. It's as plain as the nose on your face that as much as they want Valentine Holmes to justify the massive pay packet that they're paying him, he is an elite winger. And that's it. He shows flashes at the fullback position, but if they're going to run through with Clifford and Michael Morgan, then Scott Drinkwater has got to be the number one.
I played number one.
He did for the trial against the Broncos. He was at number one, and he was really good.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good. So, you're right. I mean, as much as they're paying, I think Valentine Holmes is an elite winger. He is an elite winger. Look what he did for
Queensland. That's right. He showed the Cronulla.
And look what he did for Queensland Maroons.
Exactly.
So, And then Tamalolo is the other big sort of not big signing, sorry, where the chunk of their money is tied up. Who didn't have the greatest season last year?
I thought he was a bit sort of on and off, but absolutely. Like he has for himself, and the team obviously have very lofty expectations for Jason Tamalolo. So it is what it is. Yeah. He'll step up to the plate. My man Kyle Feld. Shout out to Kyle Feld. Big New Orleans Saints fan. He's my man at the moment. Unlucky,
except for injury, not to be in the Maroon side last year.
Absolutely. He had two off-season surgeries. He's feeling good. He had groin and shoulder surgery. One of my favorite players in the league at the moment. So, you know, shout out to Kyle. Hopefully he's listening out there. I've seen him down the local Woolworths just around the corner. So, hopefully.
He's a unit, isn't he? He's a unit.
Oh, yeah, he's massive. I've seen Jason Tamalolo at that same Woolworths. And holy mackerel.
He's just
a monster of a human being.
He's our feeder club here. We'll never get him, but he's our feeder player.
For the Cutters,
that's right. I hope that it would never happen, but they would just pack out that stadium if somehow.
Exactly.
Are they now? Before we move on, we've named a lot, but are they a fringe eight or do
fringe
they
eight. Fringe eight? In that top four of the bottom eight.
Yeah. I think they hover around that. They have to start, and then again, it goes back to health a lot. I think Michael Morgan, exactly what you said, has to have a Kanan Ponga season. Who needs to have a Tedesco season? Or just throwing those names out there, or a Munster season.
Got to be a top ten player. In Origin type form. But it comes down to the way that Todd Payton wants to use him. Like I said, you know, plain as the nose on your face, he's a number six. He's a terrific runner of the ball. He still has a very good kicking game, but he cannot be your one and only primary option, which they used a lot last year, and it just doesn't work that way. So he has to be a lot more off the ball, and they have to have a more controlling number seven, and hopefully Clifford, who's got a massive boot on him. Clifford has got a huge kicking game on him, so they have to use that to effect. And that's as far as the Cowboys can go. I think they'll be possibly a fringe top eight team, but for me, expectations are kind of low, but hopefully they finish a little bit higher than what they did last year.
We're up to an hour and a half, everyone, so we've only got six teams left, so bear with us. There's only a few more. Hopefully we haven't named your team yet, but the next team is the Parramatta Eels. It's funny, they were sneakily just went, and for me at least, they signed a lot of players and lost a lot of players at the same time. The Parramatta Eels.
No, so look, you know, some of their but signings sneakily, are.
I don't know. Not world beaters. I mean, Bryce Cartwright from the Gold Coast Titans is probably the biggest name out of that is what I'm looking at. But they just, it wasn't mentioned a lot. That's all I'm sort of getting at.
No, not really. Look, I think their season last year, they peaked way too early.
Yeah.
And they sort of teed it off towards the end of the season with a straight sets out, so to speak, in the finals. Some of their losses.
Which is crazy because they finished Gower third.
Sorry, just interrupt.
It's crazy how they get straight sets lost when they finish third. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah, unreal. Unreal. Like I said, peaked way too early. They were just unbeatable at the start of the season.
Oh, my God, they were.
They had energy. Yeah, and they tried to recapture that at the end of the season. You could see Clint Gutherson was just trying his absolute hardest to try and raise the energy of the squad, but they just ran out of gas at the end of the season.
So underrated.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And Mike Acevo was going off at the start, but he sort of petered it off. Yeah, you're right. They had a great, sorry.
Yeah, Moses, didn't sort of live up to expectations.
Yeah.
Dylan Brown got hurt throughout the middle of the season. So it's culminated in a straight sets out in the finals.
Yeah.
Losing Penny Terapo and David Gow to retirement. Obviously George Jennings going to Melbourne. Brad Takarangi, David Alvaro, Kane Evans have all left the club as well. Yeah, they picked up Keegan Hipgrave from the Gold Coast, who's got a little bit of crazy about him. So we'll see. Actually, no, not a little bit of crazy. He's got a lot of crazy about him.
That's awesome.
So we'll see how that goes. Obviously, they're not going to have Michael Jennings for the foreseeable future. What's being surrounded by him,
which is interesting. That it's just interesting that the George then got signed by Melbourne, not that the Melbourne signed him. That basically it's interesting if he got effectively, if his contract was up and they didn't want to re-sign him because of the Jennings. I don't know. It's just an interesting what's the word, forked that sort of happened from Michael Jennings.
Yeah, that's right. Whether or not he's just like, well, yeah, you sort of lost a little bit of faith in my brother, and you know, probably you know, they've got, you know, big reasons to do that, but yeah, so he's sort of parted ways with them as well. Look, I guess they're sort of a fringe top four side. Yeah, sort of repeat what happened last year? Once again,
I know they can. I just think they're definitely a top eight side.
Oh yeah, no, they'll be there around the top eight. Mitchell Moses has really sort of got to not so much take the next step, but he has to be super consistent and be that key cog in what makes them spin. So he's him and Gutherson, obviously. I like Brown there at dummy half. So, look, yeah, they've got the tools to make another run at it again.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think they can. Next team was the team that I guess lost a grand final. Not I guess, they did lose a grand final. And that's the Penrith Panthers. Look, picked up a couple of interesting signings, but they did lose a few players.
Yeah, look, they've had a bit of player turnover. No more bigger losses than Josh Mansour going to South and James Tarmo going to the West Tigers. They're huge losses.
I'm assuming and then Dane Laurie as well going to the West Tigers. I'm assuming just because of how well they played last year, they just couldn't fit everybody into that cap. That's how I sort of looked at it when they lost a few players. So
I mean, I guess that's just a product of success.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, they haven't made the most massive signings in the world. You know, Eisenhuth has come across there. You know, Robert Jennings is there now as well. You know, we mentioned earlier, Paul Momorowski has gone there from the West Tigers. They lost a few players to the Super League, and Dean Farre's gone to the Catalans.
Yeah.
And Zane Tenevado's gone to Leeds.
Yeah.
So, look, I guess they put all their eggs in the Charlie Staines basket, mm-hmm. and that's why they've let Josh Mansour go. They locked up Crichton for 3 years. There's like $1.5 million, so he's got big expectations on him now. So I think just a little bit of loss in depth sort of just brings them back to the field a little bit. You know, obviously they had 17 wins in a row. You know, at the end of last year before losing in the grand final, which is just, that's heartbreaking. So not so much dominant, but to put such a run together and then lose like they did in the grand final, and then the referees trying their best in that grand final to try and get them back into the game, which nearly happened. I don't care what anybody says. It nearly worked.
If it did, that would have been a storyline. Oh,
you would have been pissed.
That would have been a storyline we would have been talking about for this entire season. But I think they've still got the tools there. And I like Steve Crichton. I think he's a great player, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's still young, so I think he's 22, 23. So I think they're a top four side. I still think if the way they played last year, I think they are that good.
Yeah, look, that's, I mean, just with a little bit of lack of depth now, we'll bring them back to the pack a little bit. James Fisher-Harris was massive for them last year. He needs to sort of replicate the same way that he played. Like I said, Jimmy Tarmo, they're big shoes to fill. Massive shoes to fill.
Yeah, that's an interesting loss, but I'm assuming it's just salary cap sort of squeezed him out. That's the only way I could sort of put it down to. But they'll have a little bit of depth loss, but I think they'll be okay.
They'll be there or thereabouts. They'll be fully entrenched in the top eight.
Next team is the South Sydney Rabbitohs. But we mentioned Mansour.
Supposedly the hot premiership favourite at the moment.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, sort of, they lost you know, they lost Corey Allen, which we mentioned before. Bryson Goodwin and Jack Johns also went to Newcastle. Ethan Lowe retired. I mean, that was, I guess, going to happen in Bailey Sirin and to the Warriors. But they have picked up Joy Arrow from Gold Coast, Mansoura as well from the Penrith Panthers, and sneaky Benji Marshall got a year there.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, he's trying to, obviously he didn't want to bail out on the NRL and go to the Super League, like I think a lot of people sort of said to him, you know, if you want to have that overseas experience and go to England and maybe squeeze another couple of years out of your career and play over there in England. Jacob Host and Tau Tau Moga as well.
Yeah, I like Jacob Host. Yeah, that's a good signing. That's a really good signing.
Obviously, a big loss in Jimmy the Jet, you know, and James Roberts going and him going to the West Tigers. Look, they've got plenty of depth in the backs.
Oh yeah.
So once again, a nice problem to have. Latrell Mitchell signed a 3-year extension there. So he's got a not so much step up to the plate. You know, everybody knows the talent that he's got there. Him having another year a year under his belt at fullback. So he can only get better at that position.
Yeah.
So he's pivotal. Adam Reynolds there is that's obviously pivotal as well. Damian Cook at dummy half.
Yeah.
They have got the firepower to really, even more so than last year, I think, to really give the premiership a shake. And be pushing for a premiership, be pushing for a title, to be there on Grand Final Sunday.
Isn't it funny, just with James Roberts before we move on to the Dragons, that he was, and then I'm comparing him to Dane Gagai, but both of them, Dane Gagai was that one that was supposed to be out of the Rabbitohs, and James Roberts was, the guy at centre. And Dane Gagai just did what Dane Gagai does. He had a pretty consistent season, then he played brilliantly for the Maroons, and that's what I think sort of kept him.
He always plays good.
Well,
for
he
the
does.
Maroons.
No, I know. He is. He is. Out of everybody that plays for the Maroons, he is underrated. He's very underrated. Because you don't see him get the plaudits of Man of the Match and all that.
He is a match influencer.
He is
absolutely.
Yeah, he is. It's just funny
that winger. Which I think his best position is center. I don't like him out on the wing. I think he needs to get more ball. So, we'll see how Wayne Bennett sort of uses him throughout this season. But, absolute juggernauts this year. You can definitely see them making a real heavy push for the top four and getting themselves to Grand Final Sunday come October.
Next team is the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Again, another new coach this year. I think you've talked about this guy before. Did you like the coach signing there?
Absolutely, I love Anthony Griffin.
Yeah, you do like Anthony Griffin.
I think they need some hard nose, some hard edge truths.
Yeah.
And just get back, strip it all down, get back to basics. Run hard, tackle hard. You know, let's bring on the old cliches of rugby league, effort. That's what you need there. Just effort.
Did you like the two signings? And I'll pinpoint it because they're the ones that glaringly stand out, of Andrew McCullough and Jack Byrne.
Not particularly.
No.
Just purely on the fact that McCullough is getting a little bit older. I think they could have done a little bit better in trying to find themselves a dummy half and maybe done a little bit better in trying to keep Cam McGuinness. Jack Byrd, it just remains to be seen whether he can be healthy. And if he can replicate what he did at Cronulla, then, maybe I will like the signing. But it's a prove it to me. Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately?
The one good thing about that, I think Broncos are paying for about 50% of his contract. So
they're propping up the contract. So which helps out St. George I guess, you know, they're saying they signed Danny Alvaro there as well. Boy, they lost. Boy, they lost some players though.
Yeah, Ewan Aiken, like you just said, mentioned for the Warriors, Tyson Frizzell, James Graham retiring. That was, I guess, kind of sort of happened.
Well, not really retiring. He went back to Wigan, so wow. You know, but he's
retired now. Officially.
Yeah, Corbin Sims has gone to Hull KR.
Tim Lafoy getting released. That was a bit of a funny one or an interesting.
That's a head scratcher.
Yeah,
that's a head scratcher.
And he hasn't been picked up yet, so that's a.
He could be a sneaky little buy for somebody sort of under the radar. So I found that a little perplexing. So and look now with obviously with the injury to McGuinness during a training mishap, McCulloch goes in at number 9. So that now pushes Ben Hunt back to number 7, where he plays. Well, but we all know, it's been proven that it looks like he is better suited to the number 9 position. And now they go back to the old trusted halves combo of Corey Norman and Ben Hunt. And can they gel together?
Well, isn't that like you've also got them throw McCullough in there? There's a lot of Broncos feel in that little
exactly.
So I think they did play together.
No, exactly. But it's the definition of insanity.
Is
repeating the same thing and expecting a different result. Like, what do they expect to get out of Norman and Hunt?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And the other one, the sneaky one we didn't mention before, is they lost Isaac Luke to Manly, who might sort of help Manly a little bit in that sort of death period. But I love Zach Lomax. That was the other thing I want to mention. He signed a 6-year contract, which
Duffy.
Is brilliant.
My man Matt Duffy as well.
Yeah. So it's a wait and see with them for me. I don't know. I think they have the opportunity to push the 8. They're more of a wait and see. I don't know with them. I think they're probably in mediocrity at least for the next year. It depends what your boy Griffin does. That's all I'm sort of putting it down to.
And also too, like, you know, he's put the added pressure of giving Ben Hunt the captaincy as well.
Yeah,
whether he relishes in that or it just just makes him crumble even more.
Who took the worst preseason photo with all the captains I've ever seen?
Oh my
something
God,
was wrong. Just, something was wrong with Ben Hunt that day. I don't know
just,
if he's upset stomach or what it was. He was not happy.
he was very unimpressed with that photo shoot.
Next team is the Sydney Roosters, the second last team, I should say. I guess obviously the biggest gain was the handing, poaching, whatever you want to call it, of Joseph Suriali from the Rabbitohs. I still don't know.
We'll say the poaching.
I still can't work out how that happened. How the hell did that happen? It doesn't make sense. And even Russell's come out and he said he has no idea. Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe doesn't have an idea anyway. So
well, this is a good point. But, they did lose a couple of, I thought a couple of key, at least some retiring and all that. Mitchell Orbison retired. Kyle Vanagon, we mentioned. Your boy Ryan Hall went back to Hull.
Oh my God. He's gone to Hull KR. Like, thank God for that. He's actually going to play some football.
Yeah.
Follow that if you have the ability to watch and follow the Super League, watch that man Ryan Hall. He is going to carve up again.
You watch, yeah.
He is going to have 2.5 years of built up frustration of playing for the Roosters, which is the biggest mistake of his career to come, not so much to come to Australia, but to come to the Roosters, knowing full well that he's going to be last in line. That they obviously didn't trust him. Whenever they gave him the opportunity, they said, yeah, go out there and score tries. Just go out there and score tries. And he didn't. One of the most prolific try scorers in Super League, in the Super League today.
Yeah.
Watch out for Ryan Hall back in the Super League. He is just going to absolutely light it up. Get some cash on him to be the leading try scorer in the Super League next year.
And then someone will pick him up from here that should have picked him up when he left. So that's what's going to happen.
Possibly. And also Sonny Bill Williams has obviously not re-signed and decided to focus on his boxing career. So good luck to SBW on that one.
The Evergreen Morris brothers re-signed for another year as well, which is just look, yeah. I mean, did so well last year, exceeded everybody's expectations.
They were unbelievable last year, and you know, not I guess sort of not being really rewarded with representative honors was a little bit of injustice, I think. But look. The Roosters, no doubt that they're going to be there or thereabouts. Trent Robinson has got them, you know, as a well-oiled machine as any club in the league at the moment.
Yeah.
Boyd Cordner sitting down for basically the first half of the season is extremely concerning. Not so much for the team, but just for Boyd Cordner and the status of his health, you know, as first cab off the rank. Like I honestly think he needs to hang him up.
He has to. We've seen too much last year to not warrant that he should be still playing. I don't get how no one in the Roosters, and the Roosters are, you know, for whatever everyone
says
about who they're
extremely cautious with him, but I just don't see a way that he can play this season. Yeah, given his history of concussion over the last previous seasons, plural.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, for Roosters, who are they, you know, they talk about them being under that, you know, they have their own sort of cap and all that. They're generally very well looked after with their players. I'm surprised no one has come to him like a Nick Politis and said, you know, mate, look what happened to you last year. It doesn't make sense. What is he going to prove? He has nothing
to prove.
Exactly.
Like Giselle said to Tom Brady after he won the Super Bowl this year, what have you got left to prove? What have you got left to prove?
Yeah, but Tom Brady is a completely different.
But you know what I mean. It's the same reason. What have you got to prove?
He has nothing to prove.
Doesn't have anything to prove. Like, improve your quality of life after rugby league. It's just not to say that it's not worth it, but. Just think beyond this season. Think of the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yep. Nah, I totally agree. I mean, Sydney Roosters will be in that top four again. They'll push for the four. I mean, they'll have the firepower.
Yeah, that's right. They'll be there or thereabouts. Look, they're switching Luke Keary from 6 to 7. So that's a bit of a big call by the Roosters management and coaching staff there. I guess it'll be a battle royal to get the number 6 jersey in Lachie Lamb or Sam Walker. They'll be sort of fighting it out to get that number 6. A big back, a big in for them this year is Victor Radley. We'll see what he can sort of produce this year. He was looking good before he got hurt last year. Obviously, Jake Friend missed a lot of games last year. He should be back fit and healthy. James Tedesco will be up there as long as he's healthy again. He'll be up there in the Dally M points. He'll be up there as one of the best players in the league again. So they'll have no problems with making the 8. And like I said, they'll be making a charge towards the top 4 again.
The very last team is the West Tigers.
Boy. A club in just another one of them clubs that's just in disarray.
It has to be. It's they've picked up Joey, like I said, offhand Gowie from the Broncos. James Tarmow is probably their best signing. That is, and Roberts.
I like the guys that they've picked up. Like you said, James Roberts, Jimmy Tarmow. They've picked up some good players. You know, they've lost some talent there as well. Elijah Taylor's gone to Salford City. Josh Reynolds, just, man, what a huge mistake it was for him to leave Canterbury. Like, his career has just gone to the toilet.
Since going to
the West Tigers. He's gone to Hull. So hopefully he can sort of have a bit of a career resurgence over there in the Super League. They lost Josh Alloa, Robert Jennings, Chris Lawrence retired. Harry Grant is gone. He's gone back to Melbourne. Benji Marshall's gone. So
Elijah Taylor went to Salford too, so they've lost.
Elijah Taylor's gone to the Super League, so
it's a club that's, I agree, it's in disarray, and you probably need to start really at that number seven and just what they have to do. Their forward pack is not too bad.
No, their forward pack is good. You know, obviously Russell Packer's still there as well, so you know they've got a decent forward pack. It's just what are they laying the platform for Luke Brooks to be, you know, mediocre. They had, you know, him and Mitchell Moses were going to be the future of that club. They were the two, you know, young hot halves pairing, and they just floundered. And Luke Brooks is hasn't made that step up, and nothing says more disarray and more mediocrity than them coming out and saying that they're going to pair Adam Dewey with him in the halves. Like, he looked to start off, he looked a little out of place at fullback, but he grew into the role.
Oh, I like Adam Dewey at fullback.
And he was pretty good by the end of the year. I love him.
I see it.
The halves now, I don't understand that move. I don't get it.
Well, you've got someone like Moses and Boy, who's a plug-and-play player. He could play at the 5-8. That's what I don't get. You know, they're not too bad. It's Luke Brooks just needs to have a great season. Like, you look at that, you've got Adam Dewey at fullback. You had Nofaluma, who was just a try-scoring machine, and a winger. James Roberts, Joey Lelua, if he stays, you know, healthy and sort
out of trouble.
Out of trouble. And, you know, Luke Brooks, Moses, and Bias. So they're not too bad. But well,
apparently, Joey Lelua's trimmed down and everything like that. So he sort of really put emphasis on his body shape, but you know, he's still going to give away a penalty or five throughout the game. So
that's true.
That's what I mean. He doesn't need to be. He was fine just the way he was. He just needs to be in the right headspace, you know, and not clothesline people as they're trying to run through and score tries when he's a little bit upset. Billy Walters coming back off that ACL injury. He'll be back mid season, so it'll depend on whether they want to throw him back in the halves. Look, it's been 10 years since they made the finals.
Yeah.
And, you know, can they finish above the dreaded ninth position again? So,
no.
To me, absolutely not. It'll be them and unfortunately the Dragons, I think, that'll be fighting it out for the spoon this year.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think you're, and it's not so much your team, but I think your top three need to stay healthy to make sure they're away from that bottom two
yeah,
as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. So, that's like most teams.
No, that's true. But I think just because yours, purely because you don't have any other option, you have so much money tied up to the three players. And I'm not saying they don't deserve it, you know, that at all. Tamalolo definitely deserves it. And so,
Tamalolo's coming up to be one of the greatest deals that's going around at the moment. You know, 10 years for $10 million. That's terrific.
Yeah, well, that's right. They just, you know, they're starting to get money back into the coffers and they get $1.5, $2 million deals. Like,
genius.
I think they really push, unfortunately, for that bottom two, the West Tigers. And that's because I just don't think they know what they're doing in the halves. I'm not the biggest Luke Brooks fan. I'm just not. I don't see potential in him. I don't see him progressing. He regressed last year.
No, well, ever so. Since, I mean, and then once Moses left the few years ago and went to Parramatta, he was supposed to shine, you know, out of the Mitchell Moses shadow and the way that they sort of, and it just hasn't happened. Yeah. And when is it going to happen? Is it going to happen?
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. I just don't. I think Dewey was great at fullback last year. I think you're okay in that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, Roberts and Joey
Lelua. The backline is not going to be the problem. Nofaluma signed a 4-year extension, so he's happy to stay there. The backline is not going to be the problem. Not so much the problem. It's moving Dewey out of the fullback. It befuddles me why they've done that. You know, whether it's just out of necessity that, you know, we need, you know, they've obviously got no Josh Reynolds. They've let him go. So they haven't got a void. Well, you know, they haven't got a player to fill that void at number six, which they could have done with this year. It just, you know, with Billy Walters out for basically half the season with that ACL injury. So, I don't see them making a whole lot of noise throughout this year. Like I said, forward pack will be good, and we're just not sure who they're laying the platform for.
Yep. That is the entire 16 teams of the 2021 NRL season.
Umped it.
Yeah, just under 2 hours. So thank you for everyone sort of staying around, or hopefully you stayed around to right at the end. You know, hopefully we've talked about, well, we have talked about your team, and, you know, sorry to all the ones that teams may be in mediocrity, but that's our position. So you decide what you want.
Hey, look, not 16 teams.
Not everybody can finish eight.
There's going to be eight teams. There's going to be eight teams that miss out. There's, you know, out of 16 teams, there's only going to be two teams that make a grand final, and there's only going to be one lifting that premiership trophy at the end of the season. So, that's the same every year. Every team goes into the start of a season with hope. It'll just be a matter of how quickly hope is being squashed throughout the first month to 6 weeks of the season. So, we'll. I can't wait. Can't wait for footy to come back on Thursday night. It's being kicked off, like you said, down there at Amy Park with the Storm and the Rabbitohs. You're two heavyweights of the season, so that should be a good game to sort of kick the season off on Thursday night.
Okay, so don't forget you can follow us on our socials, Twitter at Final Play Pod, and Facebook, as always, is pretty straightforward, Final Play Podcast, where you'll see all the links to our various podcast outlets. You can also get our podcast on gimco.com.au, which is what I was just looking at then, and I just missed out, but anyway.
Oh, no, you missed out on Cheap Ass Sunday.
That's all right. There's still plenty to go around. That's where you can get all your trading cards, which again, you know, is
plenty of Sundays to go. Plenty of Sundays you can get in on.
At least just start out. I'm a starting out person, so you know, when you hear Tom Brady's card going for $1.2 million, his rookie card, so it's
God's sakes, a Luka Doncic RPA one of one from National Treasures went for $4.6 million. And I know that might sound sort of, you know, foreign language to people, but yeah, National Treasures is one of the super high end products out there, and it's a nice looking card. Don't get me wrong, but $4.6 million, it's never going to get any higher than that price, unless he turns into LeBron James or Michael Jordan.
No, I agree.
Unless he turns into the game's greatest player.
But I'm telling, this is how chaotic and out of control buying and selling trading cards have become. Yeah, I know you do it as a hobby and you've been doing it for a very long time, but it is a hobby now, seems to be, for the ultra rich. It does. Yeah, it is.
That's right.
So
unless you're lucky enough to score one in a break, then that's like winning the lotto.
Which is good for someone like you. You know, you're probably sitting, I wouldn't say on a potential gold mine, but you've probably got some cards in there that weren't worth jack a couple of years ago that now are probably worth something, is what I'm sort of
thinking. There's a few floating around that have got some all right value, but yeah, do you want to capitalize on it now, or do you want to sort of, you know, I like to, you know, maybe a little bit of a hoarder when it comes to cards, so I like to just have them sitting in my little nice little locked secure case, and or just have them spread out over a coffee table everywhere.
Oh yeah, I can vouch he does that. All right, well, have a good week, everyone. We mentioned it earlier, the first NRL game will be Thursday night, so it's only 4 days away, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
Four
Thursday.
More sleeps. Yeah, sure. Four more sleeps.
And, yeah, I'm going to mention this name because it's always going to happen. My name's Jason Texoy. We'll always love Texoy Smith because he's got the best name. Man, if his potential just goes out of control, if he's an okay player, but don't ever leave because we need to have your name there the whole time.
We'll find ways to slide his name into podcasts. So that's not going to be a problem. I'm Miles. Can't wait for Thursday night, Plum. Just before we go, be on the lookout over the next or the coming week or so. We'll be doing a little blaster of an NFL podcast.
Yeah.
Just regarding to the quarterback circus that's going to be happening very shortly with the new league season, the new NFL season that'll be coming up mid this year. We're just going to have some opinions and on who could be who could be the best fit where.
Yeah. Who could be the starting quarterback?
There's going to be a lot of quarterback movement this year in the NFL. Unprecedented quarterback movement. We've already seen it. Yep. Already with a couple of players being traded, big name, well, not so much big name players, but, impact signings and impact trades that could sort of turn a franchise's fortunes around a little bit. So we're going to be doing that in the next week or so. So be on the lookout for that as well. Yep. Obviously, we'll be doing a weekly podcast with the NRL season being on, going through all the news and results and what we thought of the games over the weekend. So, yeah, be on the lookout for that. Like us, share us around.
We'll have an NBA one coming up probably after the All-Star break too, just to probably break down.
Yeah,
absolutely. Have the All-Star weekend as well. So, and possibly
Star weekend. Yeah,
possibly it'd be around that sort of trade deadline too. So that'll be
that's coming up. Trade deadline, I think, 25th of March. So we'll be able to squeeze this one in after the All-Star game and sort of get our opinions out there on how we thought the All-Star game went and how lackluster the slam dunk competition is going to be, because boy, there's some no names in that this year.
Oh, well, one of them I'm like, because he's got some hops. He's just he's not a big guy. That Cassius Stanley,
Cassius Stanley.
Yeah, he's got a bigger vertical than Zion Williamson, because he was at the same draft combine. So not that that means anything, but I agree. I've said that, yes, last couple of years have had good players and that, but we said that I've said that before, and then it turns out to be still a spectacle. The three point contest is going to be huge.
Absolutely. But that's where the league's at the moment. There's the big guns in the slam dunk in the 3-point contest this year. So, Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, the couple of boys from the Celtics.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So the greatest travesty, Devin and we'll Booker. Get into that. Devin Booker's hurt. So
yeah
it's Mike Conley who's slipped his way into there, which is just ridiculous. And he probably deserves an All-Star berth. That's all well and good, but for my man Seth Curry to not be in that 3-pointing contest is the biggest travesty. That's being robbed more than Devin Booker not being named in the All-Star. For him to not be there is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't get. I get Mike Conley being in the All-Star game. I don't get him being in the 3-point contest.
I don't get him in the 3-point contest. That's lazy.
Yeah, that is literally lazy. Yeah.
Lazy.
Yeah. I agree. I totally agree.
Jibber jabbering on here. So have a good week, everybody. Enjoy your football. And look out for the new stuff on the horizon.
See ya.
See ya.